Not necessarily those of KVOI, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or their sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. John, my buddy, on the other side of the glass is engineering and producing our show. And together, a very hearty welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Tuesday. It's the 8th of February, 2022. We're in our 12th year on the radio, 34 years on television and radio here in the Tucson market. Our program is coming to you from KVOI, 1030, The Voice, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We're in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios, our worldwide live listening, making all of our live programs possible for you to live stream them at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Today we resume our every other month interview series presented by Pima Community College. This series introduces our listeners to the very dedicated educators and supporters of Pima Community College. Joining us on the live line is Don Martin. Don is the Academic Dean of Health Professions and Biomedical Services at PCC. Don, how are you?
I'm good. How are you today, sir?
Doing real well. This whole issue with the healthcare workers and the workforce and the crisis in not finding enough folks to man and be the men and women that we need on our front lines of healthcare. It was bad, as you know, Don Martin, even before 2 years ago, COVID. I can imagine we are at a very critical junction right now.
Yeah, the COVID pandemic has really accelerated the process that was beginning to aggravate the healthcare workforce in the first place. For a long time, we've been looking at, and I don't really know how to describe it, kind of a balloon of retirement for baby boomers coming to that point, right? Baby boomers make up a really large portion of the healthcare workforce, and we've been staring at this thing for several years, this imminent retirement en masse, and COVID, the pressure that COVID put on the workforce has actually accelerated that. A lot of people have decided they just don't need to be working anymore under those conditions. And so we've had a lot of baby boomers accelerate their retirement, get out of the workforce sooner than expected. And then other people who can't deal with the situation anymore have left the workforce as well. And so we're approaching critical mass in healthcare at this point. In the shortages. So it's a very difficult situation.
What are we going to do to increase the capacity, the need for nurses? Why don't we start with over the big picture and then what you're doing? Let's zero in on Pima.
Yeah, I've been preaching for a long time that we're never actually going to be able to meet the need for nurses by focusing strictly on nurses. That capacity is just not there for community colleges and universities at all. Even if we had enough clinical sites to place students, we don't have enough instructors. We don't have the money to pay instructors what they would make in the workforce, and so it's hard to get instructors to build the capacity that we need to put out the number of nurses that are necessary. In the past, we've looked at ways to increase that capacity, through financial aid for students and so on. But what we've learned is it's just not going to happen. What we need to do is we need to start thinking about alternative solutions for that. Some of the capacity building processes we've put in place in the past have some slight impact. We need to continue those things. But we need to start really looking at doing other instructional programs to supplement the nursing workforce. So, in other words, we have nurses doing a lot of things in hospitals and medical clinics and doctor's offices that other people could be doing. And if we begin to increase our capacity in those areas, which is really doable, in fact, it's probably necessary at this point, we can increase our capacity in those areas, such as surgical technology, medical assistance, things like that. We can begin to supplement the nursing workforce, free up nurses in those areas, and allow them to go and do strictly nursing functions, and at the same time build our capacity to the max with as few things that we can do and begin to meet that need. It's really going to take a broad approach. And Pima College is actually working on that now by exploring new programs. We developed an advisory committee with institutional partners across Pima County to help us understand what the workforce looks like and where the needs and gaps are and the possibilities for us to begin to fill in those gaps. So,
I mean, that makes sense. If you can get the support people, and the training for the support people is going to be a lot less than a registered nurse. And at Pima, you can really help put these folks into the pipeline. I know you've got something called the Pima Community College Health Science Center of Excellence. What kind of careers are you offering to these people and training?
Well, right now we're offering radiologic science, respiratory care therapist, medical assistant. We have CNA, certified nurse assistant, licensed practical nurse. We have RNs, medical lab technician, clinical research coordinator, phlebotomy, pharmacy tech. We have about 17 different programs that we're offering through Pima College. And the Center of Excellence is going to allow us to expand those offerings. We're beginning to look at new areas to supplement the nursing shortages we talked about before, things like healthcare navigators, which are individuals that help patients get through the healthcare system. So they connect them to resources and help them schedule physicians' visits and help them understand how to interact with the healthcare system. And that's mostly done by nurses now. If we can get these individuals into the workforce, that frees up part of the nursing workforce, right, to go and do nursing duty and take care of patients directly.
What is the timetable for these people when they join the program? How soon can they be in the healthcare workforce?
Our programs range in length from 5 weeks to 2 years.
Wow.
We have certificate programs in the certified nursing assistant. We also have associate degree programs in RN, radiologic tech, respiratory care, in some of those areas. So anywhere from 5 weeks to 2 years. We have all kinds of flexibility for students that, you know, they're looking for a fast track like CNA to get through, or they're looking for something that's a little more long term and they have the resources for that. Or alternatively, they could start as CNA and work their way through LPN and all the way up to RN and support themselves with a good paying job along the way.
Yeah, it's a good paying job, as you say. I mean, you talk about a business, an industry to get in that's got a future. As you said, the baby boomer retirement's happening, the baby boomers, they're aging. This is the time. Is the demand there in our community, Don Martin?
Yeah, the demand in our community is huge. Like I said, we're not going to be able to meet the demand for nurses. And I think really what we're going to start seeing is a much higher demand for those support areas. We've been talking with our institutional partners about that, and they're beginning to understand that mantra, right, that we need to begin to expand our capabilities into other areas to support the nursing workforce, support the medical workforce, and free up those individuals to do the things that they're actually trained for.
Where can people find out more information if someone's listening and they think they might want to get into the health profession, which is a booming profession, to say the least?
Yeah, they can go online to the Pima College website, and they go under academics and programs and look at degrees and certificates, and they can look up all our programs there. And they'll find information about every program that we offer in the health sciences, including, you know, the cost of the programs, the types of outcomes that we have. All our programs have very high outcomes. Students graduate at a high rate. They complete the registry exams at high rates, et cetera.
Do they get all the certificates then that they would need through the programs?
Yes, sir. Some of the programs, the certificates are done while they're in the program. Others, they're done after they graduate from the program. A lot of that depends on the certificate itself, the registry, and how they're set up. But regardless of the process, they're completely set up for success in that acquisition of the certificate.
All right. So we know the demand is there in the healthcare profession, but are you finding that the word is getting out that the students can fast track these things?
I don't think people know that yet. You know, the fast track is kind of a new idea in education, in post-secondary education, and it's not as new at Pima as it is some places, but I don't think we do a real good word of getting that, a real good job of getting that word out. And so we want to start doing better, and that's part of why we're here today.
Okay. Well, hopefully we can help get that word out. Don Martin is the Dean of Health Professions and Biomedical Sciences. What an important area at Pima Community College. Don, thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity. We appreciate it.
All right. Don Martin over at Pima Community College. And once again, their website is pima.edu. That's real easy for you, pima.edu. All right, time to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. They are open today. They take one day off now. They're taking Monday off. I don't blame them. They work so hard over there, Steve and the team. They open at 6:30, and people are really waiting. They're there when the doors open, and I don't blame them for that either, because they want a Danish Kringle. They want one of the beautiful pastries, the almond croissant. And Steve and the team, for Valentine's Day, they're doing a heart-shaped Danish Kringle. Sounds very intriguing, and that will come in whatever you like, the particular flavor. I think I would go for the almond. They are open right now for lunch, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. MonasDanishBakery.com is the website. The photographs alone will tempt you. They're beautiful. Got everything on the menu now on the website. You can take a look at what they offer, and they offer a wide variety of beautiful European-style pastries and breads. All right, Shelley Fishman is with me in studio, and he has an enthusiastic two thumbs up, which is kind of unusual for a Tuesday. We'll be back with Shelley. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. We always love to welcome Shelley every Tuesday at this time, but we especially are enthusiastic on days where the market is in the green, and that's
well,
always
and it's
fun.
Really in the green today.
Is something going on that maybe there's some optimism about what's going on with the French prime minister meeting, talking?
I think there's some
talking
of that
peace,
I think,
and about the Ukraine, and yeah.
So when you talk to economists, when you take the politics out of what's going on with the reporting about the economy, all the news is fantastically good.
Mm-hmm.
GDP growth is great. Unemployment is great. We're even making headways into raising the salary levels of people in the lower half of the earnings spectrum. And in fact, we reported last week that there's about an 8% net of inflation gain in the lower 50% of earners, net of inflation, so that the economic news ought to have people walking on air.
It isn't, though. As you well know, there's a sense of terrible pessimism when you talk to people about the economy. They'll say, oh, things are horrible.
Because they're being coached to say that. And, you know, we had a jobs report on Friday.
Surprising
that
jobs
just,
report.
In fact, all the naysayers about the economy had to shuffle around and find some way of explaining the fact that in November and December, the jobs were recalculated from what had been lackluster reports and were up 700,000 jobs for those 2 months, not in each of them, but for the combination of both of them. And then what we thought was going to be about a 200,000 gain in January, largely because we thought
Omicron.
There were going to be losses through Omicron, you know, turned out to be a gain of almost 600,000, almost a 500,000
half million
jobs.
Wow.
In January.
Very surprising.
And as I said, when the December and November numbers came in, these are going to be revised upwards. This January report's going to be revised upwards as well, because the way they do these calculations is they only look at the first 2 weeks of the month, what we know is that the Omicron effect was higher at the beginning of January than it would likely have been at the end of January. So what we have is a 4% unemployment rate. It ticked up a tenth of a percent from last month. That's a good thing. It meant that more people were looking for work and that the participation rate has actually gone up.
Some of those people may have been not even looking over the past 2 years or now
right.
saying, look, I'm ready to get back in the workforce. That's a good thing.
It's a very good thing. In fact, Bill, all of the news is good.
The rate hikes have now been built in. People have accepted there's going to be rate hikes.
Well, exactly. I mean, we have an inflation problem. It's mostly due to supply chain issues, and it's mostly due to the fact that we have all of this cash that has built up in this country, in the society, some of it because of stimulus, some of it because people just didn't have things to spend it on.
Mm-hmm.
And so these several trillion dollars of cash and the pent-up demand just threw off the balance between supply and demand. And demand became much higher than supply, and supply became a problem because of these supply chain issues. So now we've got some inflation. You know, Larry Summers is, you know, writing op-eds in Washington Post saying, I told you so, I told you so. You know, this is 1930s economics that he's talking about. But to the extent that he talks about the imbalance between supply and demand, he's certainly right about that.
Yeah.
The question is, what do we do about it? Now, he's encouraging the Fed to take more drastic steps than Jay Powell wants to take.
More drastic?
More, yeah. What he wants to do is say, look, the way to control inflation is do what you need to do to control the inflation, even if it slows down the economy, and the economy will slow down as a result of what the Fed might do. Now, the economy is growing at 6% per year. We haven't had a 6% growth in the economy in decades. So, you know, even if he's right, and I don't think he is, mm-hmm. but even if he's right that that's going to, you know, put the brakes on the economy, so what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we get back to 3% or 2%, which is normal for the past generation. That'd be just fine. We're the only country in the industrialized world that has a GDP rate that is higher, not a GDP rate, but an actual economic rate that is higher than it was when we entered the pandemic. The only one.
Mm.
So there is very, very little bad news here. And where it is bad news, it's in the averages. In other words, if the average is that your income level ought to be up 8% net of inflation, but you know what they say about averages. You know, you get your mm-hmm. head in the oven and your
yeah.
knees on a block of ice.
Mm-hmm.
On average, you're fine
mm-hmm.
unless your head's in the oven.
Yeah.
So we certainly have people who are not doing well or not enjoying what this economy can be providing. But on average, this economy is about as good as any economy we have had, gosh, since the Clinton days.
Well, against that background, we still have the other shoe that we are waiting to drop, and I hope it doesn't mean war over in the Ukraine.
Right, and you know, that's certainly it's out of my lane, but what we know is that the Ukrainians appear to be not too worried about this because they've been living with it for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
The steps that Biden has taken, you can argue that he came a little late into the game with some of these aggressive postures, seem to be discouraging the Russians, at least for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting the NATO allies together, so mm-hmm. we're presenting one front to the Russians in this. Bill, what is so alarming to me, first of all, the market is shrugging this off and saying,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're going to be fine,
mm-hmm.
and the Fed is going to do their job very slowly,
mm-hmm.
so that's going to keep the economy growing. But, you know, when the wall came down, when the Berlin Wall came down, there was some chance that Russia could have been integrated into the European community
mm-hmm.
in a way that would have simply ended the conflict.
Yes.
There is no reason for this.
Yeah, there was so much hope.
So much hope.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons this is so discouraging is because it's so unnecessary.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like we just took so many steps backward from when that wall came down.
Right.
Think what could have been.
Right. And you know, Ukraine has wanted to be a country on its own since,
yes, it has.
Since you know, 300 years ago. It
yeah.
declared its independence in 1917.
Yeah.
It lasted about 3 weeks, and the Red Army marched in
yeah.
and annexed it to the Soviet Union,
yeah.
what was emerging.
Then they had all those issues,
Union.
Of course, in World War II. I mean,
absolutely.
And on it goes with the Ukraine. So right now, things look pretty good.
Right now, the economy is doing very, very well. Most people in this economy are doing very, certainly the top 50% are doing you know, better than they probably deserve to be doing. We need to do something about reducing income inequality. Whole different subject. But even the bottom 50% of wage earners are, on average, well ahead of where they were for the past 40 years. We have a middle class growing again, and we haven't really seen that growth since about 1970. This is not bad, Bill. This is a good economy. If you want a job today, you want to change jobs, you want to improve your lot, whatever, you can do it. There are way more jobs than there are people looking for those jobs. We're going to have to import workers.
Yes, we are. Shelley, have a great rest of the week. Thank you.
You too, Bill.
Shelley Fishman on the Buckmaster Show. We'll take a break right here. Margaret Regan from the Tucson Weekly is next.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zilkalo Village Studio, Green Things, 3384 East River Road. They are open daily, and they are also in their 51st year of serving Southern Arizona on their beautiful 13-acre site, greenthingsaz.com. Additional support comes from Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start planning a road trip. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Lots to do over there. A lot of outdoor activities, including the Gila National Wilderness, which is a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. For more on the many things to do and the great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line for her monthly visit to our program, Margaret Regan, who has been writing about the arts for the Tucson Weekly, now in her 32nd year with the weekly. Margaret, how are you?
I'm doing fine, but it's not exactly that many years.
It isn't?
A couple of weeks from now, then we'll be up there.
Oh, okay.
32.
32 years. Well, I've got 34 here on TV and radio in Tucson, so I guess we're a couple of old-timers. There's a very interesting show going on over at the Center for Creative Photography, and you're writing about that for the weekly.
Yeah, well, right this week I'm preparing for this Spring Arts Preview.
Uh-huh.
And that's going to be in the paper next week, and it's really fun for me to find out all the things are going to be happening this spring, and there's so much going on. But this one show at the Center for Creative Photography really gets my eye. It's called Trees Stir in Their Leaves. Hmm. Very poetic. So it's going to be a show at the gallery in person. Hooray.
Yep.
And it's about trees with lots of beautiful images from the Center for Creative Photography, but also it's combined with installations from the Laboratory Tree Ring at the U of A. You know, that's a renowned organization at the U of A. I mean, you know, I think it started in the 30s and it has done, you know, really great work. So this is really interesting for the university to get the photography and the arts sort of mixed in together with science. So I'm really looking forward to that. So you can go to the gallery and you can see the wonderful photos from people like Ansel Adams and Lola Bravo, Aaron Siskind, a lot of my favorite photographers. But then you can also see the beautiful pieces of the trees, the tree rings. So, you know, as they put it, it's a photo and tree ring installation following historical, cultural, and scientific narratives. It's really interesting because this is a time when we're thinking about our world and climate change, and I think our mayor has called for planting a million new trees. And, you know, trees are really good in cities. They cool off the heat. That's really important.
And
change.
And that show is now open?
It's now open and it's running through July, so everybody has plenty of time to get over there.
And they certainly have extensive archives, a very robust archive that they can choose so many wonderful images, I'm sure, that would be related to trees.
Oh, yeah, and I wish I could show you the pictures. We're on the radio, but I have these pictures on the computer. Beautiful, beautiful pictures of trees with all their branches curling around. I'm really excited. I haven't seen the show yet, but I'm hoping to get there next week to write about it.
Let's quickly talk about some more galleries that are coming online here. Mm-hmm. I think there is something called the Everybody Gallery?
Yes, the Everybody Gallery. And this was here a couple of years ago, very contemporary work, you know, really interesting, small places in, you know, in big old buildings that nobody else would even think of. And they were really interesting, you know, these small, interesting shows of local, very, as I said, very, very contemporary artists. And then they disappeared, and I saw some information sometime that they had gone to Chicago. And now, all of a sudden, they're back. And that's kind of exciting, you know, because this is young, really interesting artists, and they're back in town on Grant Road. I guess that's not a fancy place either, so it'll be really interesting to see. And they have a new show open, a woman named Sarah Hubbs, who lives in Tucson, and she's doing glass work, aquarium, rocks, sprigs, all kinds of interesting things.
And you sent me a couple of images. Some of these images are beautiful. And you know, speaking of glass work, how about Philibom Glass? They've also got some great stuff.
Yeah, you know, Philibom Glass, Tom Philibom was in charge of that place for, 30 years?
At least.
I mean, he's a great guy. But, you know, he and his wife decided to sell the gallery, and they sold it to a young woman, Allison Harvey, who had been working in the gallery for a long time as the manager. So she and her husband are keeping the thing going, which is really great. And they have a new show. And all the stuff, you know, I haven't been over there yet either, but, you know, you look at these pictures and they're just gorgeous colors. And one of them, I have to say, does look like a tree.
Yeah, I have that one right in front of me. I thought maybe it was a tree.
Yeah, well, you know, somehow trees are in vogue right now, I guess. Yeah,
when
and
you
then there's one of, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Philibom really set the stage for glass art. He's certainly one of the pioneers in that area in the United States.
Oh, absolutely. He's very, you know, very well thought of, and he was always really nice to the artists, and especially the younger artists coming in. And, you know, he did his own wonderful work in the gallery, and I believe he's still showing some things of his own in the gallery. But, you know, he was just so great, always trying to help people and help the the arts. So, I miss having him around. But he's still in Tucson, and as I say, he is still working.
Of course, you are a working author. You've got two prize-winning books on immigration. Have they set you in motion to take part in the Festival of Books, which will be once again open to the public on a face-to-face basis in early March?
Yeah. Well, actually, I was invited, but for various reasons, mm-hmm. I can't be there that week. So, but they are going to be doing some things about the border, so that's very important.
All right. Margaret Regan, we will look for your work in the Tucson Weekly, and your 32nd anniversary is coming up.
Coming up.
Thank you for all you do in our community. Thank you, Margaret.
Okay, thanks, Bill. Bye-bye.
All right. The Buckmaster Show will pause right here. Then we're going to launch a new interview series. We call it Superstars of Science. Certainly there are some top scientists here in Tucson, so we'll have plenty of folks to talk about. Up next, Dr. Joaquin Ruiz, his latest title, executive director of that fabulous new Gem and Mineral Museum in downtown Tucson. Dr. Ruiz will be next on the Buckmaster Show.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is The Buckmaster Show. Today we begin a new monthly interview series. We're calling it Superstars of Science. Our Superstars of Science series is presented by our friends at the University of Arizona Biosphere 2, UA Biosphere 2, with us on the live line, Dr. Joaquin Ruiz, who was appointed UA Vice President of Global Environmental Futures in 2019. He has served as the Thomas R. Brown Chair and Director of Biosphere 2 since 2013, and he is now the Executive Director of the new Alfie Norville Gem and Mineral Museum at the beautifully renovated downtown Pima County Courthouse. Joaquin, Dr. Ruiz, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing very well, thank you. And how are you?
Doing real well, thank you for asking. I had some folks that told me you have to go see the new Gem and Mineral Museum. I guess you had an event a week or so ago, kind of an open house with dignitaries, and I heard some folks say it is spectacular.
It is indeed. I'm very proud of it. Of course, it was a partnership with Pima County where they renovated the whole county courthouse, and it's just magnificent. But the museum could be, I mean, the people in the know say it's better than the Smithsonian.
Wow.
The Smithsonian may have more pieces, but they have them all in the basement, and we can show everything exquisitely, nicely. It's really, at the grand opening on, I guess it was last Thursday, where we had a lot of people, and of course it's the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show, and last week was the mineral part of it. There were many gem people around town. They just loved it. And I just want to tell you that we have, in addition to being a beautiful museum, we have a little piece that is worth just going to the museum to see. It's a tapestry, which weighs about 40 pounds, and all the threads are made out of 18 karat gold.
Wow.
And it has about 15,000 rubies, emeralds, diamonds, all exactly the same size so that the thing can, you know, the light hits it all in the right way. It is a masterpiece, and it's on loan to the museum for a little bit. So people should run and see it because you won't get a chance to see anything like this magic carpet anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds fabulous. I've got to go take a look at that. What was kind of the genesis of this museum? I know some of it was over on campus, right?
Right. So the genesis was, all right, well, we've had the geology department. Mm-hmm. For many years had a mineral collection, and that collection was mostly minerals that were donated by faculty since whenever the 50s. And this collection ended up going to the basement of Flandreau.
Right.
And it had some pieces that everybody knew was an embarrassment to have in the basement of Flandreau.
Yeah.
So one day I got a call from Chuck Huckleberry.
Uh-huh.
And he took me to his office, which was just El Charro for lunch.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I'm renovating the courthouse. And how would you like to have half of the main floor? Mm-hmm. Because the other half is going to be a place for us to showcase everything in Pima.
Right.
So, by the way, not only should you go to this place to see the Mineral Museum, but what Pima County has done as sort of a visitor center is really amazing. It truly is.
Hmm.
So we then talked about it, and I went to the university to the president, and he thought it was a great idea. So off we went, and it is one of a kind. And then halfway through the building of it, Alan Norville, who has a show downtown, a gem show,
mm-hmm.
Got all excited about it because he, in fact, had approached me earlier to move the Flandreau Planet Museum downtown. But it was a good idea, but it really didn't work what he was trying to do. So when Chuck's idea came through, Alan jumped right into it and became the lead donor. So there you go. That's the story of the Alan and Alfie Gem and Mineral Museum.
Well, I can't wait to see it. I think it's certainly worth a visit just to see it and the way they beautifully restored the courthouse. I want to talk a little bit about the reopening of Biosphere 2, the updated Biosphere Experience app. Visitors can now explore the facility at their own pace. But generally, how are things now as we kind of we're thinking about the post-pandemic time here? How is Biosphere 2 transitioning, Joaquin?
You know, it's doing better than ever, interestingly enough. Let me start with the science. The science inside of the glass has hit a big stride. Everything we're doing is what's defined as ecosystem services. In other words, how can we save corals so that we can protect the livelihood of the people that live from tourism or fisheries? How can we protect the rainforest? How can we understand the rainforest so that so that biodiversity isn't all dinged everywhere in the world? We have a big project with mangroves. The mangroves are becoming like a key thing around the world, either for carbon credits or to surround islands so that they don't flood. Big deal things. And we're in the middle of research in every single one of them. We also, on March 3rd, will inaugurate an innovation center in partnership with a tech park. We already have three companies that are up there. Two of them are solar. And the third one has to do with studying how to go to other planets or how to feed people in the space station. So that's amazing in itself. And the tourism, because of this new app and because of everything that's going on, is quite an exciting experience. The number of visitors is down by about 25% only.
Wow.
And what we are hearing from the people that are taking the tours on their own is that they love it. So, and we hear that through the regular channels like, whatever that is that people send their comments to
through TripAdvisor and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So sure. We hear it through them and mm-hmm. they also send us notes.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
So all good. Yeah.
Yeah. And even during this kind of, well, now we're 2 years into the pandemic, science was continuing under the glass.
Right. So you can still go in there. And in some ways, because you have this app at your hands that allows you to do it at your own pace, you're not at the mercy of our docents that were, you know, the tour guides, which were all extraordinary. But then you had some tours that were like 30 people long. And if you were at the end of the line, it wasn't as good as it should have been.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's remarkable. The pandemic in our case allowed us to think things over and be more strategic on what we were doing.
Is the desert laboratory on Tumamoc Hill in your portfolio, Dr. Ruiz?
No, it's in the under a thing called AIR, Arizona Institute for Resilience.
Yes, yeah. But I did want to touch on briefly, Joaquin, this appointment to this kind of newly created global environmental futures. You're the VP there at UA. This is you tell us a little bit of what that is.
Well, I'll tell you the two things that I've been, it's resiliency around the world.
Okay.
So, but looking at international partnerships that may make things better for us. So we've created two partnerships that are truly unique. One is with the French federal government, and our university is the only one that has this institute that has been created with a thing called the CNRS, which is their sort of federal, their sort of centralized national labs, but it's bigger than that. And there's going to be, for example, a delegation of 29 researchers from France, including the president of CNRS, coming this way at the end of the month to talk about how we can study the effects of global climate change. One in food safety and security, energy safety and security, biodiversity, all the grand challenges that have come our way because of the consequences of global climate change. So that's one. The other one is we have an amazing partnership with the Israelis in the Negev Desert, which is in the southern part of Israel. And it's a hyper-arid environment. They get 2 inches of rain a year.
Wow.
And nevertheless, they produce 60% of the vegetables that Israel exports to Europe. There's 5,000 people that live in this environment. They produce 120% of their electricity during the day. They are the natural laboratory for how to have resiliency in hyper-arid environments. So we have a great partnership with them in which we're sending technology backwards and forwards. We're also trying to understand how they've been successful in implementing some programs in Kenya, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And we would love to use the know-how that they have so we can implement these sorts of things in the Navajo region or northern Mexico.
Lots going on.
All
right.
That's what I'm doing.
Dr. Ruiz, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Joaquin.
Hey, take care and Happy New Year, even though it's already February.
Always. Never too late. Thank you, sir. All right, that will do it for the Buckmaster Show. That kicks off our Superstars of Science series, monthly series. Here we thank Dr. Joaquin Ruiz, Bill Buckmaster, and John saying have a great day.